This isn't as clear-cut a job as we'd like, so I want you all to focus on it and give it a bit of thought. First, the situation. Derek? Derek from the laundry, Derek the dried-up old accountancy clerk, stands up and delivers a terse, comprehensive sit-rep, as if he's done it 1,000 times before. Who'd have thought it? Arnenebber werewolf colony left over from Himmler's last stand. Mumble. Mukhabarat. Cough. Republican Guard. Mutter. Kidnapped scientist. Mumble. I don't need to take notes. Near as I can tell, I've heard it all before. Glancing round, I try to catch Angleton's eye, just in time to see him slipping out the back. Then Derek finishes. Back to you, Captain. Our mission is to take a look on the other side of the hill, says Alan. Bringing back kidnapped scientists and neutralizing undesirables are tactical tasks, but our number one strategic priority is to do a full threat evaluation and ensure word gets back home. So, step one is to send through a crawler and make sure there isn't a welcome party waiting for us on the other side. If it's clear, we insert. Step two, he pauses. We secure the other side, emplace the demolition package in case things go to pieces on us, then improvise depending on what we find. He grins briefly. I love surprises. Don't you? Well, yes. Otherwise I'd never have volunteered for active duty in the first place. Which is why, half an hour later, I find myself standing on a purple-painted hotel staircase beneath a portrait of Martin Heidegger, breathing through an oxygen mask and waiting to follow a dumpy little tracked robot, half a platoon of territorial SAS, and an armed hydrogen bomb through a rip in the space-time continuum. Blurred shadows dance across the video screen, grey and black textures like ripped velvet laid over volcanic ash. On the floor in front of my feet, the coil of cable unspools, snaking into darkness. Hutter, the equipment tech with a control panel, is hunched over it like a video game addict, twitching her joystick with gloved hands. I lean over behind Alan, who has the ringside view. I have to lean because the backpack is a solid mass, 30 kilograms, pushing me forward if I even think about relaxing.
1 meter forward. Now pan left.
The screen jerks. There's a thin wail as air vents through the doorframe and the cable reels out. Then the scenery on screen begins to rotate. We see more blurred grey rubble, then a view that swoops away down to a distant sea. As the camera pans round further, the back of the robot comes into view, trailing a white umbilical back into the incongruous side of a wall. There isn't enough light to examine the wall, or enough scan lines. It's a night vision camera, but we're operating in starlight. The camera continues to rotate until it's pointing back to its original bearing. There is no sign of life.
Looks clear,
someone whispers in my ear, voice tinny and half-masked by static.
If you want to go first, feel free to volunteer, Alan says dryly. Mary, see any hot spots?
Nothing,
the tech reports.
Okay. Bearing 060, forward 10, or until you see anything, then halt and report.
She follows through, and the little robot lurches forward into the grey and black landscape on the other side of the gate.
Ambient air pressure, 10 pascals. Ambient temperature, thermocouple gives an error. FLIR is flatlined, but that backup sensor is claiming somewhere between 45 and 60 Kelvin. Gravimetric, it's Earth-like. I'm worried about the power, boss. Battery load is normal, but we're losing power like crazy. I think it's in danger of freezing solid. We never designed a robot to do this kind of environment. It's colder than summer on Pluto.
Someone whistles tunelessly until Pike tells them to shut up.
How does this affect our environment model? Alan asks aloud. The suits are only certified down to 120 Kelvin.
Someone else clears their throat.
Donaldson here. I think we should be okay, sir. We're only going to be in contact with the ground via the feet, and we've got plenty of insulation and heating there. No air means no convective loss, and we're not going to radiate any faster just because ambient is cooler. Our regulators use a counter-current loop to warm incoming air from whatever we breathe out, so they're not in danger of icing up. The real risk is that we're going to be more visible on infrared, and if we get into a firefight and have to take cover, we are going to get frostbitten so fast it isn't funny. That lake is probably liquid nitrogen. Don't walk on any shiny blue ice. It'll be frozen oxygen, and the heat from your feet will flash boil it. Oh, and it's diamagnetic. Your compasses won't work.
Thank you for that reminder, Jimmy, says Alan. Any more compelling insights into why the laws of physics are not our friends?
The camera pans round. Same landscape, but now we see the gate framed by a low mound of dirt heaped up on one side, and a broken-down wall on the other. The lake is clearer, and some sort of rectilinear structure is just visible over the crest of the ridge.
I don't understand the temperature, Donaldson says pensively. There's something about it I can't quite put my finger on.
Well, you're going to get a chance to put your finger on it quite soon. Mary, still no hot spots? Good. Alpha team, ready, insert.
On the other side of the doorway, three guys wearing dark, insulated suits and backpacks quickly duck through the open gate and are gone from our universe. The robot's camera, pointing backward, catches them for posterity, ghosts leaping over it and passing out of view to either side.
Chitin, clear, over.
Smith, nothing in view, over.
Hammer, clear, over.
The camera pans round and takes in three shapes hunched low behind the bluff, one of them pointing a stubby pipe back past the robot.
Dom, if you'd be so good as to take a look round the rear of the gate. Mike, Bravo team, insert.
Three anonymous, bulky figures push past behind me, through the pressure doors erected in front of the hotel room. A gust of wind howls past my helmet as they enter the gate. The camera pans.
Chitin, nothing behind the gate. Landscape is clear, rising to hills in the middle distance. I see some kind of geometric inscription on the ground and two bodies. Male, naked, gutted with a sharp implement. They look to be frozen, handcuffed behind their backs.
My heart flops over and I begin to breathe again, ashamed but relieved that neither of them is Mo.
Howard here, that'll be the human sacrifices they used to open the gate, I say. Is there a kind of metal tripod nearby with an upturned dish on top?
Chitin. Nope. Somebody's cleaned up around here.
Bloody typical,
somebody mutters out of turn.
Charlie, insert.